Hey guys!
I'm Emily.
I'm Tara.
I'm Ashley.
And today we're talking about the Zodiac Killer, which I know you guys are all so excited about.
So excited.
The Zodiac Killer is extremely infamous for never being caught.
So he's claimed to have killed 37 people. We're only recovering the four confirmed attacks that can be like proven that they were him and like linked back to him. So that's why if you like do some of your own research, we're not going to be talking about like some of the people that you might find.
Right. I have a link though that I'm going to put on the podcast that is actually about like the letters and stuff, but it also has a timeline of the complete like Zodiac like possible murders as well. So there's like the attacks that happened that were like possibly the Zodiac that we just don't have time to cover, honestly, and take like 7 episodes to cover all of the different attacks, all the different suspects, all of the letters, stuff like that. So we're just covering today like the confirmed things about the Zodiac Killer,
and also we're only gonna be covering the letters that like go with those attacks. We're not gonna be covering like all the letters, because again that would take us like way too long,
and not all of the letters are confirmed. They can only match handwriting for certain ones, so I only have ones that they match handwriting for and also that go with the murders.
So let's get into it.
Okay.
This all starts in Northern California between the 1960s to the early 1970s, and there's not much background on California during this time, because it was just, like, a normal town. Like, there's, like, usually the cases we cover has, like, really bad criminal activity or stuff like that, but, I mean, it was just California. There's nothing really going on. And so the San Francisco Bay Area press is actually really involved in this case. So it was just San Francisco and California. So that was the background of Cali during this time.
So then we're going to get into the first couple that was, like, confirmed to be killed.
Yeah, so these two were actually on their first date. It took place on Lake Herman Road in California. The names of the two victims in this one, they both did end up dying, and it was Betty Lou Jensen and David Faraday. I'm pretty sure I'm saying their names right. If not, like, I'm so sorry. I'm trying my best with names. They actually were there on their first date. They were shot and killed by the Zodiac Killer. Betty was dead, and she was found 30 feet away from the car, and David was still alive, but he died on his way to the hospital. At this point, they still didn't know it was the serial, like, that it was a serial killer who killed them.
Obviously, because it was, like, the first time he killed someone.
It was the first time that they killed someone, and then Betty was actually shot 5 times in the back, and she died instantly, like, before the other 4 shots. The first shot did kill her. For people who are interested in, like, the weapon, it was a .22 caliber semi-automatic pistol. That doesn't mean that much to me, but there is people out there who, like, you know, really are into, like, the weapons and stuff. There was no indication of robbery or sexual molestation. But there was, like, witnesses. There was several vehicles seen in the area prior to, like, the local resident. But actually none of them really saw who the killer was somehow. Like, there was other people there, but no one really saw the death, even though Betty was found 30 feet from her car, which is a little wild, but, you know. So that was the
first couple. That was the first confirmed attack. And then into the second, which is another couple, which is kind of weird. He mostly went for couples, except for the last person we're going to talk about was a single person.
But he definitely, like, hated women.
Yeah, the attacks on women were much more, like,
violent. And he shot them a lot more times than he ever shot the men.
Very malicious.
So then the second couple is Darlene Farron and Michael Magoo. I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce it. I'm not sure. But they were on a date, too, and Darlene was actually married. She was married to a man named Dean, but Dean was ruled out because he had a strong alibi. He was at his job. He worked at a restaurant called Caesar Restaurant, so during the time of the murders, he could not be linked back to it. Michael was, like, screaming in pain at this point, and after he was just, like, sitting there screaming in pain, the suspect, like, just returned back. He just came back to him. And he's fired 2 more shots at each victim. And at this point, Michael, like, got, like, a good look at him.
So going on to the first letter that the Zodiac Killer sent, it was sent to the Chronicles, which is, like, for some reason really important to him. That's where he sends almost all of his letters. And the Chronicles run the first confirmed Zodiac cipher.
And at this point, he was not yet known as the Zodiac. He just had marked the bottom of the cipher with a circle with two lines through it, almost like a
cross
through it.
Like you're aiming at something.
Yeah, like a target. Yeah, like a target. Yeah. And again, he was not yet known as the Zodiac. And this was, they called them cryptograms because that's what he had actually labeled them. So the cryptogram was finally deciphered, and it was spoken about the Zodiac's pretty much passion for killing and how that's like the one thing that he loves in the world is to like kill people. And he also claimed the first two murders in this letter. And that's why you can trace those, like, that's why those are confirmed ones, because he talks in detail about the murders and, like, details that weren't public. So he, like, obviously had to have either been there or been part of, like, the crime scene. Yeah, the killing process, the crime scene, whatever you want to call it. He had to have been there at some point for it. So he was obviously pretty close to the murders. And this was actually sent only a day after... Well, they're not sure exactly when it was sent because it didn't have an actual sending date, but it was received and published the day after the second couple's murders.
So then we have the third couple, again, who was outside, Brian Hartnell and Cecilia Shepherd. They were both repeatedly stabbed by a lake called Berryessa, I believe that's how you pronounce it. Shepherd did end up dying, but Hartnell did survive, which is would be the second person to survive these attacks. So another weird thing about this case, he messed with police officers so much. Like, yeah. He really had a thing for messing with them, making fun of them.
He is also one of the first killers that wanted media coverage. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of media coverage. Like, instead of going straight to the police all the time, he would send his letters, like, to the media. And he'd be like, if you don't print this, I'm going to kill again. So, they like, he made sure that everyone knew what he was doing.
He
like,
demanded there was no recognition for his murders. Which reminds me a lot of, like, BTK, Dennis Rader.
Yes, he literally, that man...
They craved media attention. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, besides
they were so narcissistic.
Just like besides the fact that they could, like, get off on killing people, like, they were definitely had a thing for that media coverage.
Yeah, like, the killing people was almost second to, like, the media coverage. Like, if they weren't getting put in the media, they probably wouldn't have,
what was the killing even for?
Right. Yeah. Like, what's the point of killing if no one knows about me killing? It's, like, their sort of thing.
Yeah, so... Brian and Cecilia were both college students. They originally, again, couldn't tie it back. But in October, they tied it with a Zodiac killer. So, and because of that, October 15th, 1969, he released another letter to the media that they were able to confirm, if you want to talk about that.
There's a person in here that we haven't gone over yet that I'm going to talk about in this letter, but we're about to go over them, so don't worry. The Chronicles finally posted another letter from the Zodiac, and in between this, they had actually gotten a couple of letters, but they couldn't be sure it was the Zodiac. After the first letter, a lot of people like to mess with the media or want their own shot at fame, so they'll send in fake letters. So in all of these letters, they tried to match like the handwriting and the ciphering as best as they could. The next official one that they knew was October 15th of 1969. This is actually the letter where the Zodiac names himself. After this, he's referred to as the Zodiac Killer, which probably isn't the best idea. We always know that giving serial killers names just makes them want to kill even more. But they named him the Zodiac Killer after what he pretty much requested of them. And he also included a part of Stein's shirt, which is the taxi driver that we'll get to in a second, which proved that he was actually murdering these people. He also then threw in details from the third couple's murder that was what eventually tied the couple back to them as well.
Yes, that eventually did tie them back.
And then Stein is the Stein is the shirt that he sent, and that is the last person they can officially tie to the Zodiac Killer.
Which we'll get into him for in a second, but going back to the third couple, the weapon was actually a little bit different this time. He had used a knife with a wooden handle and a blade approximately 10 to 12 inches long, which before he was known for using guns. So yeah.
.22 caliber, he just loved it so much.
And just like the murders, there was no robbery, sexual motives, and for this one there actually was no witnesses either, besides the fact that Hartnell did survive. And another thing that was interesting and kind of like weird about this case, or like this specific attack, was in the other ones he had like shown his face to them, and like they were able to like see who he was, give a description about that. But in this one, he was described as wearing an unusual costume. He had like a bag over his head, and he had like something taped to his chest with the original zodiac marking again, which is like the target like that we were describing either. It was just like taped to his chest. And he also had told them that he was, like, escaping from prison and that he was, like, demanding money from them.
Yeah, that's where a lot of people actually get thrown off is right around here. Like, the first two couples were obviously the Zodiac Killer. I mean, you know, they were tied back to him. But this is where people start to get thrown off. They think that he either switched weapons, because there is a lot of people, a .22 caliber gun is not that hard to come across. So there were a lot of copycats around this time. Again, media coverage was big. So there was a lot of copycats. So people think he might have switched so that people couldn't copy him because he craved the attention. But people also think that it might not have been the Zodiac Killer, and that they were just going off of like the like notes in the newspaper sort of thing. And that's why they he demanded like money, and that's why he covered himself up and used a different weapon, because those were things that weren't released at the time.
Yeah, so he could, like, basically use his different appearance to show the media, like, this is me, I'm actually the one doing it, instead of just what they're actually releasing to the media. Like, again, in this, he was described as, like, 6 feet tall, like, a bulky person, which is something that the media already knew, but if he could switch it up and be like, oh, like, I was wearing this, and, like, this is what I look like, which is something the media didn't know because it was the first time for him, then they could tie this back to him, which is something that he clearly craved. After the assault was over, the man just like casually walked away from the scene, and it took several minutes for someone else to find them because, again, there was no initial witnesses. But a nearby fisherman did end up finding them and calling the police. And once the police arrived at the scene, they had discovered that the attacker left like a message on the door of their car. He had left, again, the cross like circle symbol. So clearly he was killing people and like trying to make a name for him and a symbol for like who he was as a person. Fourth and final attack that we're going to be talking about in this case is a man named Paul Stein, who was actually a taxi driver. So Stein's cab was was stopped at Washington and Cherry Street, just a block away from their like original destination. This attack is actually a little bit different because Stein's wallet and keys were taken. As we mentioned before, there's never actually like any like signs of robbery, but like from this one, he did like take stuff. He also did, as we mentioned early, take a large portion of his shirt, which he later sent in to like the police to kind of just like mock him. The officers also found bloody fingerprints that they believe were potentially from the suspect on the car as well. They also found seven black leather, also found a pair of men's size 7 black leather like shoes and leather gloves. There's three witnesses at the scene. There was a teenage girl, since she had heard the shots, and then there was also a 13-year-old and a 14-year-old that were also at the scene as suspects. So when they had originally called the police, they had seen the suspect from like a distance. They just saw him walking off, but when the police arrived, there was such like chaos going on that they originally were like looking for someone that was an African-American man, because like there's just like a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of chaos. Basically, they had racially profiled a different man because he was African-American, when actually they were looking for someone who was white. And the two officers that did arrive at the scene, they later confessed to actually seeing someone that would like fit the description. They didn't come into contact with this man. They didn't talk to him at all, but they did say that they had seen him and someone that had fit the description from all the other murders, which also he made fun of in the letter. He like talked about how there's two officers. I'm not sure exactly what he said, but he's like making fun of them saying like, you guys saw me, but you didn't look for me because you're like stupid. He hated police officers.
He was like really mad at the police officers. He like almost wanted to be caught so that he could like get the media attention, but at the same time he didn't. So he lingered by the thing, and in one of his letters he was like yelling at the police officer. He's like, you guys are really stupid, like we literally had an interaction and you still didn't get me, like how bad are you at your job, pretty much. And he wanted like everyone to see that police officers were like bad at their job, and the police officers couldn't protect them,
which also they clearly were bad at their job if they were like looking for an African-American man
even when after all the description of him were literally
like, and they like they acknowledged that they had seen the person who they believe truly was the Zodiac Killer walking away. So basically they just let him walk off because he was right there.
And they didn't even like try to interview him or anything. They just like literally let him walk away. Didn't get a name, didn't get anything from him.
And they had no physical interaction with him other than seeing him walk away from the scene.
And then he literally teased them. He's like, oh yeah, like, I was there. You almost got me, but you're just stupid.
He also acknowledged that the fingerprints left the scene were to, like, confuse the officers. But I'm not sure how true that is.
Yeah, it's... So he said that they were fake, but they also couldn't match it in criminal, like, records, which is weird because usually when people leave fake fingerprints, they would leave it to point towards someone else. Well, they couldn't match the fingerprints to anyone in their system, so they were really confused. Also, they think that, like, that letter might not have been from him. That, like, that one they couldn't confirm was actually from him, so they're not sure. So there's a lot of, like, speculation whether he was, like, actually... like, leaving them as fake, or if they were his and he was trying to cover it
up. Well, hang on to the letters. There was a lot of letters, so I'm just gonna, like, go over some real quick. So I'm gonna go over the important ones, and then there's a couple that I just wanna, like, breeze past and talk about that aren't, like, as important, but, like, we should probably bring up just because. So starting with the one, August 2nd, 1969, that I already talked about, they ran their first, Chit writes another letter claiming to two more murders, which brings the total to 7, actual, like, couples, but the police only know about the, like, attribute 5, like, people who actually died. So he was saying that he had done 7 couples, but only 5 people who actually, like, died were, attributed to, like, the involved, Zodiac killer.
Yeah.
I'm saying victims really loosely. They obviously were all victims of the Zodiac attack, but the people that I'm using were, like, more of the casualties of people who actually died. Then on December 27th is the only, like, next actual real one that they can attribute to him. Again, there was a couple that were sent in between those two. They weren't actually, like, they couldn't tell if it was him or not, so I'm not going to go too into depth with them. This one was actually not sent to the media. It was sent to a state attorney. He received a letter from the Zodiac killer stating, please help me, I'm drowning. And then it, along with that was another piece of Stein's shirt soaked in blood. The only problem with this, or not a problem really, but the only weird thing about this letter was that, one, it wasn't sent to the media, and he never asked for it to be put into the media, which is really weird.
It was, like, really common for him to, like, demand to be, like, yeah, to be put in the media, kill more people.
Right, or, like, send this to the police sort of thing, which, so it was really weird in that, in, like, that aspect. He also spelt the word drowning wrong, and all of his other letters, he seemed extremely smart, or, like, a genius almost, creating his own cipher. He used bigger words, he wrote everything perfectly, and then in this one, he uses the word drowning, which is a pretty common word, but he spelled it drowning. There's no second D in it, it's just drowning, so he's using it drowning instead of drowning. Everyone's really confused by this letter because he had never really sent it to anyone except for the media, and also because it had Stein's clothing in it, but it really didn't seem like the Zodiac killer, and his handwriting also didn't match. So everyone was like, are we sure this is him? But the clothing, really, it couldn't have been anyone else unless somehow someone else got their hands on it. And then April 22nd, 1970 was the next time a letter was sent. It claimed to have killed 10 people. And he stated, P.S. I hope you have fun trying to figure out who I killed. And this letter matched the handwriting and everything. Everyone was confused by this postscript statement because, He spelled the word figure wrong. He spelled it F-I-G-G-U-R-E instead of just F-I-G-U-R-E. And the rest of his note was, like, perfectly spelled. There was not one flaw in it. His ciphers were perfect. And then in his postscript, he was really, like, he was going wild again. He wasn't spelling things right. He was writing interesting things. So it was really confusing for that one as well. And then the next one comes on October 12th, which is a couple, actually a lot of months later. He had been writing them, like, at least once a month, and then he'd, like, disappeared for a little bit. And then this is where he claimed that his death total was up to 13 people, and it matched all of his other ciphers, all of his other, like, handwriting, stuff like that, so they believed that one. But they didn't connect any other murders at that point. They still were like, no, it's still only the original 5 murders. And then January 1st of 1974, it had been
4 years since the last letter. And this is where Zodiac claims to have killed 37 people. This is the first letter that they actually, like, believed was him in those, like, 4 to 5 years. They were like, oh, wow, like, he's back. And then there was a lot of other letters that were sent that couldn't be treated as real because so many people were sending in letters like that, that none of those letters were really treated as real, pretty much. So these were the only letters that were actually considered his, where they matched handwriting and everything sounded like him. There was also a cipher that he sent in that had just been decoded last year. I'm not 100% sure what it says, but if you search up Zodiac cipher decoded and then 2020, it'll probably come up, but I'm not sure what it said. So, and I'm also going to leave the link to all of the, like, letters I found in the, what's it called? The description?
Yes.
The description.
Okay, now we're going to move into the press. This case caused a lot of press because it was one of the most publicized cases in the U.S. history, and that was because the Zodiac Killer, he demanded, like, a lot of recognition for his murders. Like, he, like, the main reason he was
craved media attention.
Yeah, he craved media attention. And so the reason this caught so much of the public eye is because a lot of the investigations were actually public, and the letters were also released to the public, but, like, they were coded, which, like, obviously interested a lot of people.
Cipher. It's in the human nature to just be curious about things that you don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah, exactly.
Curiosity killed the cat, but satisfaction brought him right back.
Okay.
Brought him right on back.
Brought him back there.
Those coded letters brought up a lot of attention, and it led to a lot of feelings of civic responsibility. So, like, the civilians during that time, like, thought it was their duty to try and help the police catch him.
But it was, in fact, not.
And
it did not help the case at all.
Yeah, it kind of gave him all of the wrong.
Like, he wanted that attention, and that's yeah. exactly what they were doing.
Yeah.
And then with everyone talking about him, he could walk down the street and hear people talking about him. It probably fueled it.
Yeah.
Just an idea.
Two high school teachers named Donald and Betty Hardin were some of the main, like, investigators of this case during the time. I believe they decoded a lot of the letters, and they were, like, really, like, largely involved in this. And, they're just, like, regular high school teachers, which just show, like, how public this case was. Like, literally, like, everyone was just, like,
it was just, like, something that everyone talked about. Like, no matter who you were, where you came from, you were, like, the Zodiac Killer.
Like, everyone was involved, even just, like, a regular old high school teacher. Total, the police received 1,200 calls and letters from civilians trying to help. So that kind of seems a little bit excessive, and they probably weren't helping. They're probably just really annoying the police station.
And also, their tip hotline was blowing with people, like, who think they got the cipher, like, uncoded, and they're like, oh my god, I know who the Zodiac Killer were. So, like, all the tips that they got were sort of, like, overridden by all of the people who were like, I know how to help because I figured out the cipher, when they actually didn't.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of, like, stupid of people.
This case brought so much attention that there was movies made about it, books. The most famous movie about it was called The Zodiac. Just Zodiac. There's not a "the" in front of it, but some really famous actors played this movie, such as Robert Downey Jr. And so it just had a lot of attention for this case. And, like, I mean, like, everybody, like, if you talk about The Zodiac Killer, I mean, everybody knows who that is, pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very famous case. So now we're going to move on to the suspects. And there's not, like, a lot of real information here, because there's not a very... Like, there was never really confirmed suspects, you know, like, with the other cases, like, they have, like, a list of suspects. This one, there's just, like, a lot of rumors. A lot of people, like, just, like, they're just making the most wild connections, just
trying
to catch this guy.
There's even a rumor that, like, Ted Cruz was.
Yeah, there's even rumors that Charles Manson did it.
Yeah, like, it's just, like, the most random things that don't even, like, add up sometimes.
Like, Ted Cruz is not alive, and the Zodiac Killer was but there's also rumors that the Zodiac Killer moved to Scotland afterwards, and he finished off his life after killing and just lived a peaceful life in Scotland. So that's a rumor. Then there's another rumor. There's actually a few guys that were tied to the Zodiac Killer simply because they looked like him. Like, Earl Van Best Jr., Jack Terrence, and Ross Sullivan were all, like, suspects just because they looked like the sketch artist. Like, some of them don't even have, like, any other evidence behind it besides the fact that they look like what the sketch artist, or what the sketch artist drew. But the one person, the main suspect that they did have was, the main suspect that they did have was a guy named Arthur Lee Allen. He was questioned in 1969 and 1970, and he had, the reason they had this was because he did have homicidal tendencies. This is, like, the most, convincing one. This is the one that they really thought, like, could have possibly been the Zodiac killer. And he wore a Zodiac band watch, which is why people think that he could have been nicknamed himself the Zodiac killer. And he also had the same gun as
the first murder.
Yeah. And he also, they found bloody knives in his car. And it was also known that the Zodiac killer had, towards the end of his murder spree, started killing people with knives. But he said that he had just been using that knife to kill chickens, which is, like, a little strange, but they didn't really go anywhere with that.
And if you have homicidal tendencies, then I think if someone finds knives in your cars, they're probably going to think that you're going for humans and not chickens. Yeah. So, like, we understand why he's one of the suspects.
He's also ambidextrous, so experts say that, that could have helped him with the letters and, like, the handwriting, which led him to, like, get away with it. And he was in the Navy when he was younger, but he was honorably discharged. So he was a very bad guy. He had many sexual assault charges against him. He was involved in a robbery, and the guy whose house he broke into actually survived the robbery, and he said that Alan had confessed to being the Zodiac killer and confessed to all of the murders. But the reason the police didn't go through with anything was because the witness descriptions didn't fit his profile, and the fingerprints didn't match. So,
could have been fake fingerprints, though. He did say that he's gonna try that one. He did
say in his letter that they were fake fingerprints, too. So. Yeah. But the police just, at the end, said that they didn't have enough evidence to charge him with anything, so this didn't end up going anywhere. The second suspect was a man by the name of Earl Van Best, and he was a coder, which would obviously be important, because the Zodiac's letters were all coded. He lived nearby, and he was actually linked to Charles Manson, which is why people believe that it may have been him. Because, like, as we said before, there was, like, rumors that Charles Manson was actually the Zodiac killer. So, he had his initials were actually found in one of the Zodiac killer's letters, which is why people believe that it was him. He was a violent guy. He had rape charges and stuff like that. But his fingerprints didn't end up matching again, and there just wasn't enough evidence there to prove that it was him, so the cops couldn't do anything. Another thing about Earl Van Best was that years later, his son, Gary Stewart, had come forward, and so the police sketch looked exactly like his father. So that's why they originally thought it was him. But doesn't make sense, because the victims, or the cops, said that the witness description didn't fit him. So, the evidence there for him is just, like, it obviously doesn't match up, which is why he wasn't convicted. And the last guy was a guy by the name of Richard Marshall. And he owned a typewriter that was, like, very similar to, like, some of the letters that the Zodiac killer had. He had the same felt tip pens, paper. So, basically, he had, like, all the same stuff for the letters, but they didn't end up convicting him because you can't just, like, convict somebody because he has stuff to write letters.
Like, right, and also they're, like, pretty sure it was the Zodiac killer that sent all the letters, but the possibility is that it's, like,
that someone else was just trying to get, like, famous off of it. Like, is,
like, or, like, in the beginning it was the Zodiac killer, but then, like, or at the beginning it was someone else, and the Zodiac killer liked the attention, so he, like, started, that's when he sent in the clothes. Like, you never know, really.
I also think it's important to note that many people actually confessed to being a Zodiac killer. There's another person by the name of Connie Myers who confessed on his deathbed that he was the Zodiac killer in 2002, but that obviously never went anywhere because there was no, like, solid evidence. So many people throughout the years confessed that it was a Zodiac killer, but there's nowhere it ever led.
Right. Also, the fact that they just wanted, like, the media attention when they died. Like, a lot of people just, like, oh, I'm going to confess this right now. And then after I pass away, everyone's going to be like, oh, my God, like, this person is so, they lived their whole life without being convicted. And everyone's going to, like, look up to them.
And that's why this case is, like, still, like, to this day unsolved. And it's such, like, a lengthy case to, like, look into. Because there's just, like, so much to it, too. Like, you never really, I don't think anyone will ever fully understand what the truth is.
Yeah, and unless you literally spend your life, like, some of these novel writers, like, looking into it and spending all of your time, like, researching the Zodiac killer and finding everything and unciphering it for yourself, chances are you're not gonna ever really know what happened.
So again, another trigger warning about Zodiac killers. Sometimes some photos come up, like the one with Paul Stein's shirt completely soaked in blood is on there. I know that. There's also some crime scene photos that are a little bit brutal, a little bit gory, whatever you want to call it. It's just sort of another trigger warning. By the way, if you do look into this case and the autopsy reports, like, if you do look into this case, just, again, be careful. If you're not into that kind of stuff, just make sure you, like, you're always careful when looking into murder
cases.
And
also, this case might give you a headache because there is so much information and so many people trying to get involved and, again, confessing to murders, even if, like, there may or may not have been. Like,
I don't know. It's just so wild.
Like, a lot of people, especially because it happened, like, a while ago and it was so big then, a lot of people who are, like, passing away recently are like, I'm the Zodiac Killer, because no one can really do anything once you pass away. Like, no one can go into it and, like, arrest you afterwards. So a lot of people are just like, oh, yeah, I'm the Zodiac Killer. Like, just for fun, almost. And there's a lot of them. Like, a lot of them. Or you can see people on blogs that are like, yeah, I'm like, I know who the Zodiac Killer is. Stuff like that. It's
lot messy.
Yeah, chances are we'll never really know who the Zodiac Killer was, because we're never going to definitely know.
But maybe one day.
This case will forever remain unsolved.
Someone's watching too much BuzzFeed Unsolved.
I think she researched a little too hard on BuzzFeed.
Thank you guys for listening to this week's episode.
Make sure to tune in for our next
episode.
And to listen to our past episodes, too, if you're, like, into that, if you like our episodes.
Yeah. And subscribe.
Thanks for sticking around.
Give us a good rating.
Yeah, thanks for sticking around.
Tell your friends.
This is, like, the fourth episode you've listened to from us.
We appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
And follow us on Instagram at True Crime Trio.
Oh, yeah. Our Instagram is always cool. We always leave links and pictures.
Post some pictures.
And now there may be a TikTok starting soon, so just remember that,
be on the lookout for that.
It'll probably be under the same name. We'll link it on Instagram. It's pretty cool, guys.
Thank you for listening.
Bye. Bye.